Turned it on?
Yep.
Okay, why don't we call the meeting to order? And first order of business would be to approve the minutes from January 8th and April 9th. Hopefully, everybody looked them up. They don't come ready to print out anymore. You got to go find them on the site, but it's easy. So hopefully, everybody did that. Any
change? I move that we approve the January minutes as written, and someone else can move to approve the April since I wasn't here.
Yeah, I thought we did the January. Okay.
All right. You're moving on the Aprils?
I'm moving on the Aprils.
All right. So we have a movement. Any second? I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Well, our third item on for discussion here, we have Lynn Larson with us today, who lives on the 17th hole. And I see he's brought some pictures and all along. So hopefully all of you had a chance to take a look at the documentation, which he sent to me and I sent to you. So we should be somewhat familiar with it. But why don't you go ahead and pass that out, and we would.
I'm here to request that there be some more lawn cutting adjacent to the 17th green. This is a picture looking down the 17th fairway from the tee box, and you see the mower down there. That's at the golden, just beyond the red tee box. And so you can see we live looking over to the right. See the dark tree, then the lighter green just beyond it. We live just adjacent to that tree there. And we get several balls a day into our yard. And if you look to the second picture, that's looking to the east from Eaglewood Drive. And it's that area that's in green that I'm requesting that be mowed. And so that in essence, the fairway gets broadened. And so we have less chance of having our home hit. Last year we had several thousand dollars of damage. And of course, sometimes we're not home, and other times the golfers look the other way as they drive by. There was one who stopped and reimbursed us for the cost of a window. But this year so far, we've been fortunate. We've only hit the balls in the yard, but not through any windows. And if you look to the third picture, this is a frequent sighting from our house. We think the golfers will enjoy having that mowed too. They spend a lot of time searching for balls. And it was one time it was mowed. It used to be part of the fairway until a couple of years ago when they stopped mowing it. And you can see the native grass is above and the dark, but the green overgrown sod. And that's the request that we be mowed for our own protection and we think it's up to a benefit to the golf course, but that's not for me to decide. That's the first request.
Okay.
Second request. Along Eaglewood Drive. This is just looking at from our house. The grass is unmown. If you look at the second, third pictures, you'll see the areas that that have been left unmown for the last few years. They used to be mowed, and in fact, it was a very nice area that was used not only for looking nice, but also when they had the fireworks. Often families would come and sit there with their little kids to watch the fireworks. I guess it's sort of crowded up by the clubhouse, but here's a nice little area. But in fact, I had understanding that Ken had intended to have that mowed until at least they were objected. And I think it'd just be nice for the community, for the citizens to have it mowed, as well as and it wouldn't be such a distraction from our home. And it is just overgrown sod. It's used to look just like our front yard until they stopped mowing it. And those are the two areas that we're requesting that they're the mowing practices be modified to for safety of our home, with the along the 17th fairway, and then for the
17.
Just for the appearance along Eaglewood Drive. Well, that, at first I started to mow it myself, and then the maintenance people came along and told me not to. But they have kept mowed the area that I was mowing there, right adjacent to Eaglewood Drive. That's as far as I got. I didn't get the whole rest of it. But we'd like to have it all mowed. It'd be like it used to be.
They do this portion by your house too, right?
Yeah. That's
all right. Well, I mean, hopefully everybody's had a chance to look at the situation. Do we have comments from anybody?
I don't understand how mowing is going to contribute to the safety of and help people not hit your home.
Because if you look at the fairway is very narrow, and it'll open it up the fairway to the east up the hill, and so they won't be. Most of the balls now come between the golf green and the cart path.
Yeah, they're coming off the tee, though. It's a par 3 hole, so mowing that grass isn't going to have any impact on it.
Well, hopefully they'll aim up a little bit more to the east, is my thought.
Well, you can always hope, but they won't. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you that, because that whole fairway slopes east to west. And if people are going to hit their tee shots on a par 3 to the right, which is a common error, you know, 80% of golfers slice the ball or fade the ball. Now, I'm not really arguing with your appearance argument. I'm just arguing with, I don't see how that'll contribute to the safety of your home. I think you'll still have as many golf balls hitting your home or near your home as you always have had.
Well, we used to not have as many golf balls in our yard. We used to have more balls in the front yard than the backyard. But since they stopped mowing it, we've had a lot more balls.
Probably have more golfers, though, too, I would guess.
Yeah, more golfers, you have more lively golf balls, equipment's better. There are a lot of factors. It's hard to say why, but...
Well, any other comments? When I look at it, I guess there's kind of two requests. I mean, the one with the errant balls, it's possible that moving the fairway over a little would get people over. I know I've looked for my ball in there a few times. But, for the most part, I mean, for the tee box, you're going to aim at the green and you're going to get pretty close to the green. So I guess an inexperienced golfer who can't hit it very far might hit it down in that direction to stay out of the deeper grass. But our golf pros here, I mean, what – feeling on that? Or
yeah, I think I honestly think it's because of play that you're maybe getting more, not necessarily because we've mowed that section differently in the last 4 years. And I have some visuals where that area has moved over the last 30 years in and out and in and out and in and out. A lot of it's really because of water use.
Well, that would require no more watering because it's already green, the area I'm suggesting be mowed.
Yeah. I'm not arguing that the area is not being watered. A lot of other factors go into that, why we've decided to put it there. A lot of it's maintenance, a lot of it's time and mowers and equipment and labor. We've focused our areas of where we want to improve elsewhere.
So not mowing it was originally because of the drought, correct?
Yeah. And I can go through some of my slides. And what information we have if we want to, but ultimately I think Lynn's argument is that his area by his home is the only portion that has native grass along the roadside, which there are several other areas on the golf course that we do, and frankly every homeowner on the golf course has native grass butting up until their property line. My argument would be that we take more care to make your area look nicer than many of the other areas on the golf course that have native grass next to it.
Now, what, I don't understand your native grass. I just saw it this whole growth.
Well, so if you go back 30 years ago, and I think I've got it on this original picture, and I've talked with Weston about this at length.
It looked the same as my front yard.
It might be when it's mowed, but there's different grasses in there. So when the golf course was built, they actually planted up on the hillside and around in peripheral areas around the golf course, different seed mix that was designed to be more like the native grass. We've got it, you know, other areas that we do mow, there's still sections of it, but if you look at the composition of what the grass is, it's different than what we have on the golf course. And you can see it when it grows. I mean, there's several different types of grasses in there.
You see look at the...
And we've got flowers and wildflowers, and you look all over the golf course. I drove down this way today and saw milkweed and rice grass. And
yeah, there's a lot of other areas that have that too. But so what would be the cost of at least mowing it back to what we see as the brown stuff in the pictures now? So, I mean, I'm assuming where it's green now, but tall, it's getting water naturally. So without adding any more water, there wouldn't be a profound cost involved, would there, to mow that back?
Are you saying on the fairway area or on?
Yeah, so widening the fairway a little bit. I mean, I guess you could widen it. I mean, the picture I'm seeing there, you could widen. I mean, the mower could actually just make two runs on each side, and it would make it wider and you know, where the grass is green. I wouldn't think that would be a big cost, but...
So it's really this...
It doesn't
section
change anything.
Right here.
I don't think it'll impact the safety, but I think it will affect the appearance.
See,
if there's a consensus that they don't, that the neighbors don't like how it looks, I mean.
So this is 2005. It looks like ample amount of water. If you look at the whole image of the golf course, I just took 17, but they go from property line to property line, essentially even up into here. They're watering the entire golf course, and we have sprinkler heads up in these areas. And what we did in 2021. Was we eliminated or changed a lot of these sprinkler heads. If you remember, they used to be full heads, and these used to be full heads. Now these are half heads, so they're watering over into
this. They're shooting onto toward the fairway, but not toward the homes.
No. Yeah. I mean, there are areas where our spacing doesn't work out quite that great. I mean, there's a sprinkler head here that's a half head that used to spray all the way in this section. You can tell it's only spraying over into here, this area. Now, it's not to say we can't put those sprinkler heads back in for here, and we do water this native grass more than we do anywhere else on the golf course. If you look here compared to anywhere up into here, we're trying to keep this a little greener than we do any of this other area. You go back to before they moved the cart path,
they
even.
Water so much.
You know, this is 2009. Same issue. So I don't know if you remember that, Lynn.
I wasn't here.
So this was native grass, and this was probably a year where they didn't have enough water, and you can tell a lot of that's burnt. And you go back to, I think it's this one here. So again, native grass. They don't have it quite far into where you're at, but they're letting this grow out. It's not being watered. And these are August pictures, so the golf course should be green. You can see even here in the native grass before they moved the cart path was well over into here along the roadside. So, and this is a better picture of, you know, 1997. You can see where a lot of this different types of grasses were.
Tyler, we kind of breezed over this, but you told me, and I think I told Lynn, we were going to mow this area next to his house twice a year. Is that right?
We do, yeah. We still mow it twice a year.
And so did we mow it?
We haven't gotten there yet. They started up where the fireworks are at to knock that down. and they've been slowly working on it. Our native mower was down pretty much the week of the 3rd because we didn't have a mechanic to work on it, so we were.
So the intent is in July and then at the end of the year, end of the season?
Yeah. And we do, and you've noticed, I think, and you'll email me when you say, hey, thanks for mowing that, because we will be around, you know, here shortly to mow that native grass down.
I saw you mowed down by the tee box today.
Yeah. So they're working through it. Our challenge is we have one native mower and one guy that is brave enough to be on it to do it.
It's so. The brave enough.
Kicks up so much dust.
And there's a lot of it on the golf course to do. I mean, they were doing it every other week. I think prior to 2022, we were mowing the native grass several times a month. It just wasn't cost prohibitive to knock a lot of it down that wasn't having any effect on play.
So he only has one rough mower, so to speak, right, that goes through the tall stuff like that?
Yeah, we bought the Ventrac that does that as well. It's just much slower. It's safer, but it's slower.
Well, where the grass is green right now, but tall, like I said, it's getting water, so why not just mow it?
Well, let me say this. Are there more questions for Lynn? I think what we should do is excuse him, and then the committee members can talk and discuss. I just want to make sure that everybody really understands he's asking.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I guess your feeling, Lynn, is that if the fairway gets widened, people will hit more to the left and you would get fewer walls in your backyard.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. Are there any other questions for Lynn?
You know, if it were a par 4 or something, I might go for that argument, but on a par 3, I wouldn't go for that argument. Let me ask you this. Has the longer grass created a voles home problem or anything? Are there voles in the grass or anything?
I have some voles, but I don't think it's anything to do with the golf course. I can't attribute anything.
That's probably
a
lesser area of voles, really, and groundhogs. We don't get nearly as many down on 17, 16, 15, 14 as we do up by the clubhouse.
As little animals, I'm not sure what they are, but
little mice.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
So it hasn't really become a voles habitat or anything bad like that, right?
Yeah.
I cannot attribute anything on the golf course to that in my house. I have some, I see little channels when the snow melts around our yard, but I'm not sure if that's caused by the golf course in any way.
So I would suggest this, and I think this would be where I think we could make some adjustments. This I agree with Roger. I don't know if this will change or do much to the effect of helping your houses. Frankly, the trees that you have on your yard are great because they're going to protect what you have.
Right, right, right.
If anything we were to mow, there's kind of this crest of the hill right here, and it kind of drops from the sidewalk down in. I would say this we need to leave as native, because if we were to get a mower on this, it would turn into dirt, if you remember the motor bikes that ran through.
Yeah, it's not getting water. So.
It's not getting water. I would leave that here. We can make a concession to mow up, you know, just to where this cart path bends. Like Roger's saying, this area is getting mowed, whereas this all of this section is not, and it's not as sightly from the road.
Great.
Okay, well, we'll excuse Lynn, and then, you know, committee can discuss it at length, and we will let you know probably in about a week or so what the results are,
so
if we can figure them out.
he's welcome to stay, though.
He is allowed to stay.
Yeah, this is a public meeting.
Oh, okay,
so
I'm sorry.
So he doesn't have to leave.
It's an open meeting.
It's an open meeting, so, okay.
Well, unless you wanted to go into it. I don't think you're authorized to go into it.
No, I just thought people might feel more free to talk, you know. But
I'd rather be free to talk. I mean, I don't want to dampen your discussion.
Your next session.
Yeah, I just procedurally, I just wanted you to know.
Okay.
Thank you.
That
so
you're
so
allowed
you're
to stay.
To stay, which
I mean,
the committee members
the
will probably
line,
be more.
The bottom line is Tyler and everybody else welcomes citizen input. So we appreciate you taking the time to.
Well, we communicate
Yeah.
I don't want to say regularly, but occasionally. And it's usually, it's always been on a high level, so it's not.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's what it's all about. That's what a public golf course, and that's what the city and the public, that's what it's all about. It's public access.
I'll excuse myself.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Larson.
Thank you all.
Thanks for coming, Lynn.
So one note I would have on this is, as I mentioned, we have 99% of the surrounding homes are touching native grass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to turn into, well, you did it for Lynn Larson, you need to do it for me, you need to do it for so-and-so.
Yeah.
That's one of my biggest concerns.
Might set a bad precedent.
Yes.
Yeah. I drive past this 20 times a day, it's right where I live, and I think what it's done is, I think it like protects the golf course. Like I don't feel like it's like a fence without a fence.
Yeah,
I think
there's some separation.
Yeah, like I remember when it was just that. I've even sat there for fireworks, but I think now when I drive past, I feel like it's like, okay, there's the sidewalk, there's this, then there's the golf course, instead of it's just like free for all. Like even down on like 13, 14, like all of those holes, I feel like that's been done. I think it's kind of more protected.
Yeah, it's not going to have any impact at all on the safety of the golf course.
That's just because there's more people.
The one thing it might, he's got one picture here, you know, that shows people hunting for balls in the thick stuff, and that's usually not an issue on a par three like that. But if it is in any way going to speed up play, I'd say, you know, we should mow. But I would just say as a compromise, maybe mow where it's green, where it's already getting water. I wouldn't add any. I wouldn't restore any heads or anything. And and I wouldn't where it's brown.
So,
I wouldn't.
I think when you look on here, you know, if that's the end of the green over there, if we cut that section
here off.
Yeah,
if you cut that so that there's not a little inlet there.
Yeah, so you're going straight
so
to.
Really, it's the views from the tee box. You don't get a lot, even if we were to cut up this higher into the hill where it used to be. Let me go back to you then. This is probably where it was cut the most. It's not much different than what it is currently.
No.
And I guess I would, I'm an amateur golfer, so not a golf pro, but to me, most of the golf courses I'm on, the fairway is cut a certain way until an elevation change causes the groundskeepers to cut grass a different way. So I don't know that I would want fairway going up the hill.
Well, it's a par 3. There's nothing on fairway.
Yeah, it's a par 3.
Yeah.
Especially a
we could,
golf
and
course.
We could,
not
we could
par 3.
We
no,
certainly
not,
could cut
it
lower.
It's not Shinnecock Hills or
anything.
Yeah. But this right here is not visually different than 99% of the golf course.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
no,
I'm not
I
sure
agree.
Why,
yeah.
You know.
I don't think he's on the visual part there. He's thinking that where it's cut, he thinks people are aiming, which, you know, when you play the par 3, you really don't. But I could imagine people that can't hit very far would aim over in that direction. Because, I mean, when I went on the cart path on Monday, I mean, my friend and I stopped and really looked and said, how on earth can his house get hit, even if somebody plays in the very front tees, because
that
those
seems
trees...
Yeah.
Be surprised how many people have an open club face.
Yeah.
Well, I think what
it
is,
but
they
the point
they
is, even
the trees.
Even those trees are blocked.
I
it probably goes
either.
Over the trees, you know, I mean...
There's some errant shots, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But
I would honestly say he's more concerned with appearance than he is safety, to be perfectly honest with you.
I think it looks great.
Well, until
not
I like
good
it. So I would just say, in the 2 years that we've been communicating,
I think it looks good.
The first time I ever heard anything about any place other than right next to his house was just when he communicated with you guys. I've never heard a concern about the fairway or the east side. That was brand new. Was it new to you?
I mean,
yeah.
I'd never heard that. And we've been talking for a couple of years with Mr. Larson.
Well, I'm sure the increased play is... You know, it's definitely brought more amateur-type golfers on that don't hit as well. And so I'm sure he's probably getting more balls over
the
there.
The way it's being mowed and the way the grass is being cut throughout the golf course is the more contemporary, mm-hmm. modern way to do it. Mm-hmm. It's being done in a first-class manner, and it's the way that has become trendy, and it does save man hours cutting. And all I would say is if there's an opportunity to compromise and make everybody happy, I think we should do it.
Well, I mean, I think, Tyler, you just mentioned a compromise, and I that might be a good idea.
And so my other note is, I think we're all well aware of where our water use in the state of Utah is going.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you can change your water use. I wouldn't restore any.
No, and I think we're going to continue to lose.
Cut back. Yeah, it's going to get worse again before it gets better later this summer. So.
I think that comes more long term with when we do need probably 8 to 10 years from now a full irrigation repair replacement on redesigning where all of our sprinkler heads are. And really designing, where our native lines are, where our sprinkler heads are at, where our secondary cut is, green surrounds. I mean, it's going to be a big project, but that time is coming to where, areas like this in front of the tee box. Even West and I have talked about, do we just let this go, or other areas of the golf course that we know that we're not going to be able to.
That's what they do in Arizona.
Yeah. It's going to turn into more of West Desert, sagebrush.
Yeah, and I also think, Tyler, and I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to mention this to you, but the area between the cart path and Eaglewood Drive, that might be one of those future areas we've talked about where we would convert from grass, even native grass, to a solid xeriscape. So it would go to rock and shrubs and look more like a St. George or a Las Vegas or,
mm-hmm.
And I can see over time and I will say this for Tyler and his crew, they've cut their water usage in half since 2020. And so that's extraordinary. And but in the future, we're going to have to even cut it more than that. So not right now, but Tyler and I have talked about areas on the course where we could replace turf with they don't call it xeriscape, that they call it water-wise landscaping now. So it's rock, drip irrigation when shrubs, that kind of stuff. So I think the future, the future is working against green grass everywhere. I don't have any problem, Tyler. I thought your compromise was very nice. If that's what you guys have talked about, mowing a little bit more there by his house, that's fine.
I have a question, Mr. Larson. Was he there before the golf course? Okay.
He said he wasn't there in 2009. First, yeah. So,
Then I have a problem with the fact that if you buy a home on a golf course, the golf course is going to have priority when it comes to what needs to be done to protect the golf course and et cetera. And you're a visual from your home and et cetera. You're there because you wanted to live next to a golf course.
We have a
you're right. Legally, the golf course has all precedent and everything in its corner, but you still want to be a good neighbor.
You want to be a good neighbor, but some of it just doesn't logically make sense.
If you look at his picture,
I've got
his front lawn is brown.
It's worse than
it's not even as green as what the golf course is. So what I would do is sort of. What you were suggesting.
Get it in there.
Trade acre for acre. I would look at a compromise of cutting here and then letting this go native. I mean, why do we have this? I mean, this slopes off really hard.
But if you miss the green.
Oh, man, you miss the green. That thing rolls down there. That's in play.
This is the three of us are speaking from experience.
If you cut it off here and then let this be more native, So there's that trade-off.
It's not very noticeable in here, there's a tree.
You can see
tree
it in the pictures.
Right, it's right there. So maybe what I'll do, if it's agreeable with the golf committee, is I'd like to keep that tree in the native. Maybe we cut something out around here to give Lynn a little bit more separation. I do love the look of the native grass with the wispy type stuff on the golf course.
I was gonna ask, why do you mow? You say no, you're gonna mow it twice a year. I get mowing it at
when you look at his picture here, it does look very nice.
Why do you mow it mid-season?
You know,
it looks
mad. It's mowed right by the
portion neighbors.
Yeah, so I mean, so if there's the tree, so if you cut it back a little bit,
we do the property line throughout here, so we do keep some separation between the golf course.
I reminded him that,
and it's just
his concern is really it's not nothing more than an opinion.
So it helps
because others might think that's a beautiful treatment of that area.
Yeah.
I do too.
It's really just
like crap, to be honest with you.
Well, can I just say a couple things? I think that the original, I've worked with him for 2 years. Ken has, Tyler, and I've been courteous and responded to him as a professional, as a lawyer, also as a resident. His opinion is that this is not maintained, that it's gone to weed, and that is objectively inaccurate.
That's not true.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And aesthetically, it is subjective, but it has the function of a berm that is grassy, and it looks beautiful.
Okay? It looks maintained and manicured.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's maintained at a higher height than what he likes, apparently.
Then he, in this last recent correspondence with him, he'd mentioned that if the golf committee would make a decision, he would drop it. So the ball is in our court to figure out what we're going to do. And if he were to drop it, Tyler's life would be much easier.
I vote drop. I
and we could today put it to a vote.
I'm his neighbor. Right, I still say drop it.
And I think that what we do on the golf course with regard to what the water situation is visionary. We are ahead of the game. And as he says, down the line we'll be doing more of narrower fairways, larger roughs, and there's not a weed in that area. There is not a weed that you can see.
There's a few up in here that I've noticed, but in here's his.
And to,
yeah,
to his credit, he's very determined. This is an individual who doesn't give up easily. He's also a lawyer, retired, so he knows that sometimes you wear people down until they give in, which is what happened to you today, Tyler. But I don't agree with you in cutting down the grass.
I don't either.
That would not be my first choice.
I mean, you're a gentleman and you're compromising, and it's not unneighborly. None of us have been unneighborly. And we like to hear from him, and I've always written back to him. But I think it's very attractive, and on top of it, it keeps a separation. It is truly, like you say, a division. This is not where the play is. Play's over here. And we don't really want people like scrambling all over the course anyway, so it creates a natural barrier. I like that.
The other thing it does is because it will, with the longer grass, capture balls, you're not going to have them going on the road hitting cars as much.
That's true.
Because, you know, if you have short grass in there, those balls are going to bounce and go.
Yeah, I can quite imagine. I mean, there won't be too many, but I would assume that a couple of these homes over here used to get golf balls in their front yard. May not get as many anymore.
Not real
and true. They may call and say, hey, what's changed on the golf?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just a...
And you are correct. The other thing is this, the setting of precedent.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
To that point, I've had... So I live in Montclair.
Yeah.
I've had neighbors come to me and say, we want the trees trimmed behind our yard, behind our house, because we see it as a fire hazard. And anytime we touch those trees, we get in trouble now. And I'm like, sure, I hear you. I'll take it to here, take it to the committee.
Yeah.
But don't expect anything because it is what it is. They want native, they want wild.
Yeah.
So I'm just to your point, and to your point, you open that door too far, and I've got neighbors who will be here.
Well, on my houses, I'd love you to trim my trees and mow my lawn. Would you do that?
Yeah, because you're a taxpayer.
I'm on the golf course.
Yeah.
Well, with the time I've been here, which is about 15 years now, we've always had residents come to the city and say, hey, I'd really like XYZ out here behind my house. And some of those things we've done, and lots of them we haven't done. We've had lots of trespassing issues. I guess I wanted the golf committee to know that even though we've said no to Lynn a lot, every time, that this isn't personal to any of us. And I think Tyler's demonstrated that by being willing to compromise. But
I would say.
But I also think that the area looks terrific, and that's my opinion.
But is Mr. Larson advocating that we cut the grass all the way down from to the property line?
Yeah.
What do you mean to the property line, Roger?
From the property line of his property and the golf course property line.
Well, we're already cutting it about 30 feet over.
Yes, yeah. His property line is actually...
That's all cut.
It's right.
It's really, it's 5 feet off his house. So we're cutting about 10 feet onto the golf course.
Yeah, see here, we're cutting all this portion over here.
Yeah.
Just like we cut along the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm talking about on the east and west side of the fairway, so to speak. Technically, there's no fairway on a par 3, but...
Yeah.
I mean, what is he actually asking for?
He just wants it mowed and
and ultimately, I just think he's looking for some concession on wanting this mowed down to rough height.
But it sounds like now, I didn't know this, he wants the east.
Yeah, that was brand new to us.
I didn't know that. And like you say, manicuring a hillside, which is already going to have runoff and transevaporation. Well, I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, there's no good reason to do that anyway. I mean, there's no...
It has no benefit on play.
Yeah, very little.
You probably won't have some... I mean, there's people that are tromping through there because they lose the ball and they try and find
it.
It's slow play, but it's a 17.
Is he saying if it's trimmed...
Yeah, you're right, it's 17.
I mean, because if they hit it left, it will go down.
People are going to stop aiming and hitting it toward his house?
Yeah. That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
I don't understand
what he's not
that
realizing is
at all.
This section up in here is not being watered.
I mean, unless they're going over and really being a bad shot.
See, if you look at this picture here, I mean, he thinks that because the fairway kind of goes to the right, you know, mm-hmm. the tee boxes are way over here, that because this juts out, that people are hitting this way. I mean, if you play golf, you know, you're hitting towards the green. But,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of people do drop the ball in here. I mean, I see people all the time going through there. So cutting that a little bit off would probably increase the speed of play because it's pretty hard to find your ball in there, I can tell you that. I mean,
well, that's a legitimate point. I mean, that little area that's sort of triangular, just that much?
Yeah.
Yeah. If this was hole number 2, I would probably say, yeah, let's look at pace of play, but...
And you're done.
Second to last hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not looking for those balls anyways.
Yeah.
They're ready
the other
to go home.
16 holes, the same person.
They're already 30 over by there, so they're time to go.
All right. Well,
I say we make a motion to keep it the same.
Should we move?
He's made it.
Okay, so we have a motion. Would you say the end?
Keep it the same.
Keep it the same. Okay, do we get a second?
I second it.
All right. Any discussion on it?
Why not just compromise a little bit and then it's a win-win?
No. I
didn't ever hear what the what it was going to cost to run the mower down the left and right hand side. Well, one more mower track each way.
Yeah, not minimal. It wouldn't cost us that much.
Well, it did say
where are we talking? Where are you talking about? You're talking about alongside his house, or are you talking about
I'm talking down the left and right side of the what is being called a fairway, which is
on the hillside.
I'm less inclined to do anything there. I just think that's going to help. If anything, that's a discussion for pace of play. I don't think that's going to help Lynn at all with amount of balls coming into his house.
And, that, and you don't think that's going to make him happy? Like even if you run the mower up and down once each way on the left side?
Well,
where there's
like
that kind of peninsula right
said,
there?
The only thing that's really getting watered, and he took a picture of it, is this small section right here. This, I wish I could zoom in on it.
If you're an adequate golfer, you're not aiming that direction.
I mean, you can tell.
How many people hit it where they're aiming?
From 2022.
There may be a ball.
I do every time.
Twice on Thursday.
It's the natural,
I said
natural,
not expert.
The natural slice going
natural,
over there.
Natural error is to the right.
Yeah.
For
I,
most
I guess,
golfers.
I guess I would add in a little compromise would seem to me to make a little bit of sense. And like Tyler was pointing out there next to his house, come up that little bit towards that tree. You can see the tree in one of the pictures he took here. I mean, it...
I'd like to keep the aesthetic, and if we want to take it to a vote, I'd like to keep a lot of this roadside to be that longer grass. If it makes Lynn Larson feel better about it, if we cut in 10, 15 more feet, I can have Weston do that. But I would like to keep it the same.
I think he'll just then.
Well, we have a motion.
Crash
we have a motion
okay.
And
we
a
have
second.
A motion
and
a second.
It,
okay.
So.
Well, we're having discussion on it, so.
Maybe you who made the motion, why don't you say what you're thinking?
Well, that's what I was just saying. I didn't think if you cut that out, I think he'll want more and more and more and more and more.
Yeah, let's make
I mean,
it.
I honestly, I live two streets away from this guy. Like, I mean, this is going to, I'm sure he'll grab me somewhere, but I think it looks good. It looks fine.
Plus, it was pointed out in the maybe not so distant future, that whole peninsula there between the green and Eaglewood Drive should be transformed into something else.
I would much rather have grass than rock.
Yeah,
personally.
Actually,
if my house was there and you told me it was going to go
have
all
dead,
rock,
dead grass like
well,
like
worry,
a street
don't
in
don't
the drop
no, no, I want, but it's like it is. If it were my house, I would want just like it is. I think
yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it looks good.
I think it's absolutely spectacular. I personally think our golf course gets better and better. Every time we put something, I mean, the driving, everything we've done has improved, I think, the image of Eaglewood.
That right
and
there
I think
always it, was crappy. I always thought it was kind
yeah.
of...
It looked like
yeah.
a dirt pile.
Yeah. It looks good.
And so, I like the long grass. Again, it's they modified it up by our neighborhood in Montclair, and... It's growing, and some of the places I used to sit to watch fireworks aren't available anymore, so I found someplace else to sit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Lots of fairway.
There's plenty of fairway to sit.
Yeah.
So the answer, I think Eaglewood's awesome, and I think what you and the team are doing is remarkable.
Yeah.
I'm super proud of what we have here, and I think the city and you guys should be... equally as proud.
All right, well, we have a motion that's been seconded. Let's take it to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yeah, I'll oppose.
Okay. So the motion carries, and I guess Tyler will get the good job of.
Yeah, either.
No, the city manager should report.
I'll do it.
Yes.
The city manager, okay.
I'm talking to him.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, the one thing in common I would make is that to avoid what Court was saying of all the people coming, I think, you know, it's because of the water situation, because of the aesthetics, because it actually looks nicer, I think we should blend that all in there. And, you know, the committee came to the conclusion because the committee thinks it really looks a lot better than when it was cut down.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that cuts off a little bit some of the other people who, you know, want trees cleared so they can see the course or
sure.
whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Ken's mentioned to him this as well, and for the rest of the golf committee, is the golf course isn't beholden to a lot of the restrictions on yards as a house or a lot are. In 2021, before we actually had a restriction on grass, this kind of native grass area expansion was taken to the development or the DRC with the city for kind of their pre-approval prior to going to the city council. So I'll work with Sherry and McKenzie Community Development on getting some code amendments. Even though we don't particularly need them, I think it would be prudent for us to have it. in there. So for any other future discussions on this, how can we do it this way, or how can we do it that way, or how come you're allowed to do it this, that it'll be in there, and we can point people towards that code and kind of move forward that way. So, anyways.
All right. So.
So what was
like
the vote? Was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to
yes.
one?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I abstain?
Too late.
Actually, I didn't raise my hand or say anything. I just sat quiet.
You have to say out loud.
And I say
that
issue,
because of my relationship with him.
Impact, what does the new flood retention pond have on, you know, on giving you a plan B for water use?
As far as what's coming into the pond on 8?
Yeah, and now it can circulate down to number 9 too, right?
It's great in that we are collecting storm drain water. It's not great in that the golf course still pays for the water they pump out of there. So we're still metered by what? Even the free water that's being pumped into the pond.
Seriously?
The golf course.
Even though you own it already because it's in your pond.
Yeah.
So when the drought is declared later this summer, do you have pond water you can pump out to water the golf course with?
No, we're still, whatever Weber Basin water acreage we have, we're limited by that. So,
well, so when you say free water, I mean, it rains and some water goes into the pond, but the pond is really fed by the city's secondary water system. So
we do have some springs.
We do have some springs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
But even that, we're paying for water we use, essentially.
But when it rains and fills the retention ponds, you don't have to...
You don't need as much.
You don't need as much water the Weber District, right?
Well, we have, by contract...
So does it balance out?
We have a contract that doesn't allow us to... It's not like we're a retail customer. We've contracted for 800 acre feet of water, and whether we use it or not, we get charged for it.
Oh.
So it's use it or lose
all
it.
All water contracts work that way.
And what happens if you exceed 800 acre feet?
We pay a penalty price,
and
just
if you
like
only,
you guys do now.
And if you only use 700?
So we pay for 800.
Huh? That doesn't.
Wow.
That seems like win-lose.
Lose-lose.
Lose-lose.
If you
exactly.
want to know who the real power holders are in the state of Utah, it's the Water District.
Right. No,
that's true.
I think that's the way it is in America.
Yeah.
Right. Do we use
Wendy's
all these waiting
water?
Patiently here
yeah.
to train us, so...
We
go on to our annual
like
training.
We are using.
We're
using. We share with the residences up there. So.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll be able to come back to this. So, go to the golf.
Oh, it is in the golf course.
Well, it's in line, I think. Not really, so, go under admin and then golf committee, and then in the packet 2025.
Folder
should be
7, 9, 3.
And there is
I
going to
be.
Yeah.
Even though I think
I'm.
And then.
Hopefully, it won't take.
I guess there's not really
a question.
You can
click.
You can
click,
and I'll talk.
And it's always the
rule. Hopefully, this is.
You think too much.
Quick. I just got back from girls' camp today, and we had a polar plunge, and I was like, I'm going to get sick if I do this at 6:30 in the morning up on the mountaintop. It was freezing water. But, yeah, so I might be paying for that for a couple of days. So apologize for my voice. That and no sleep probably are the two things.
Yes.
That
That's because you jumped in ice water.
I know, it's a bad idea. All right, so we do this training annually. And so you guys are very familiar. We had 3 new committees this year. And so I just created this training for them. And I'll just give it to you because it was made. So this is just going to be the who, what, where, why, how things about open and public meetings. So the legislature was the body that established the Open and Public Meetings Act. And then, of course, they require annual training. So you can find it in state code. It's Title 52, Chapter 4. And we have it because the legislature's intent is to make meetings open to the public and take action openly, just like you just did. This, we'll get into that in a few more slides, but all the things that go along with these meetings, people can hear And I know there's some of that worry about, oh, what are people going to think on my vote and things like that. But they will have access to hear these. And you do make, you know, good deliberations and decisions or recommendations, which is what this committee does. So, the Attorney General is the one who enforces this. So most of that would come with, if there was a closed meeting or something, they might challenge the fact that you're doing it. If you were to have closed the meeting to have a conversation about something that isn't one of the things you can talk about in the closed meeting, then somebody could challenge that. The Attorney General would enforce it. And these are some of the public bodies in North Salt Lake. So we have the City Council, Planning Commission, newly established this past year with Arts Committee, Civic Events Committee, and then of course you guys, the Oversight Committee for the Eaglewood Golf Course, and then there's a Health and Wellness Committee, and then another new committee was the Trails and Active Transportation Committee. We kind of took the Parks and Arts Board and split them up into three more focused, like you guys are, which has really been great, and some of those committees are just thriving to be more focused on their areas that they love. So a public meeting, it's really considered a gathering of a public body with a quorum present. And it's convened for these three purposes: to receive public comments on a relevant matter, deliberate about a relevant matter, or take action on a relevant matter. And that word relevant matter was really added every year, and this is why annual training is done. There was House Bill 36 that was passed, and all of those things that they changed are now part of the Open and Public Meetings Act. And so I just kind of highlighted these, some of the changes that this bill made and went into effect May of this year. But they made some modifications to some of the definitions. And like I said, relevant matter was one of those words that they've added now. It kind of tells you what you can talk about in a meeting. And then they took out some things, you know, they took out a lot of things, obsolete language and things like that. There used to be a clause in there that you could have, you weren't having a public meeting, let's say you guys decided to go golfing all together and there was a quorum there, but if you're not golfing to talk about, you know, city business and you're just golfing, then it's okay to do. There is called a social or a chance meeting, let's say. But now they've taken that completely out, and they're just talking about you just need to be doing those things, discussing relevant matters, hearing from the public, things like that. So just some clarifications and things to the code. Quorum means simple majority of the membership of the public body. So with this body and most of our bodies in North Salt Lake, there are 5 members. And so you would need to have 3 in order to meet. And I know this committee is really good about doing that. And if you can't meet in person, you join online, which is very helpful to keep those meetings. And then the things that are required to give public notice, the agenda needs to be posted and have reasonably specific items to discuss. And then the date, time, and place of the meeting so that people can come. And like this, you know, door, we just keep open because if somebody shows up, we want them to not think that they can't come in. And notice is required to be given 24 hours in advance, at least 24 hours in advance. Usually we'll try to do that about the week before. We give you a few days if there's anything to look over material-wise, that you have a little bit of time. And it's required to be given in 3 different places. So Utah has a public notice website, and there's the city's website that also houses the agendas, minutes, and recordings, and then we put it out in our vestibules here at City Hall to provide notice to the public. And you are allowed to hold electronic meetings. You know that, you've done that, so that's great. But you have to be able to see and hear, so. And then closed meetings, there are just certain reasons, and the code is very specific on what those reasons are. Chances of holding a closed meeting for this body is probably pretty slim, but there are certain reasons that you can hold a meeting. Those have to be stated if you were to close a meeting. So I won't go through it all because that's just boring. What's forbidden? So the things that you can't do in a closed meeting, you can't approve an ordinance. And the City Council, they hold closed meetings quite often for various reasons that were listed. But they can't approve anything. They can't do that in the closed meeting. Those have to be done in the open portions of the meeting. They can't interview a person to fill an elected position, and they can't take any final action. The only action they can take in a closed meeting is to adjourn the meeting. They can vote on that and adjourn. And I keep records of the open meetings in North Salt Lake. We have a minute secretary as well, Andrea, who does some of our committees and city council meetings. So these recordings are great to say, you know, I think it was Corey that made the motion, and Karen made the second on that last thing. It's really nice to hear that, because sometimes we don't recognize all the voices, so I love it. You know, John, I feel like you're really great at keeping on track and doing those things, so thank you. And we keep both minutes and recordings. Recordings were required to keep for 3 years. Minutes are permanent records, so you could go back as far as you ever wanted to review minutes. And the minutes have to include date, time, place, and all the members that are present and or absent. And then additional things, you know, the essence of the proposed or discussed things. If people comment, then a brief comment, you know, their name and the comment that they made, and then individual votes on the matter. So the grand takeaway for open and public meetings is to have your meetings open to the public, keep doors open, and deliberate matters that are important to the public in the public's, you know, available. You guys don't get many public here. I was surprised. I thought you might have one today.
We did.
Oh, you did.
Mr. Larson.
And they left.
Yeah.
Okay, well, very good.
We throw them out
after we close the door.
I'm late. Anyway, so it's just to help give the public an idea of what you're talking about, and then when they see something on an agenda, then they can come if they're interested. So that's great. I'm glad you did come. That was the purpose of it. So anyway, thank you for your time, and I know these are quite boring, but a few minutes to just do this and check the box. You'll all be given a certificate signed by the mayor, or I'll have it in my office if you ever want it.
Thanks,
Wendy.
Wendy,
thank you very much.
On a scrapbook.
Thanks, Wendy.
Okay, we'll run through some driving range stuff, and then we'll jump into some revenue numbers for this fiscal year. I tried to formulate some expenses for the fiscal year, but I really only have up until April, so probably our next meeting we'll most likely have the audited financials, or maybe close to final by then. But this is the driving range numbers by fiscal year. So you can see back, I only have data back to 2018, but at least the monthly data. I have the total data, but they're pretty much level at 54, 60, 45 prior to 2021. You've seen a little bit of progress where we had a little bit larger jump.
What year did you start?
2021. So that actually started this June. So if you look at that June number.
He started when COVID started. We were closed for a long time.
I think they had the range closed pretty much until I started, and then I opened it up. Anyway, we've had a big jump this year, obviously, with TrackMan. So if you remember, it got opened up that last couple days of April. So then we had May and June with revenues. And I have those totals.
I mean, June's looking like it's more than $50,000-$60,000.
Yeah.
It's as much in 1 month as they did in a year.
Yeah, so in May, and I'll flip back to the other one. So in May, we did 56,533, and then in June, we did 67,677. So you're right. I mean, if you look back, we did more in the month of May and the more month of June than we did. And obviously, there's pricing changes in there, but the volume has been quite a bit more, too, as well. So revenue compared to last May, 154%, and then last June, 159, and these are the total amount of balls hit for May and June compared, or from last year to this year, or last fiscal year to then this one that just ended. So the bigger jump was from May and June, but 67% increase in the amount of balls hit. And And I've got a nice slide from our TrackMan, because I can see every golf ball that's hit, and we know exactly, for the most part, a few misses here and there that it doesn't quite get. You remember we had the pricing change, so that's been implemented. We'll talk a minute about moving to mats 7 days a week. Alan and I and our staff, we've done a little bit of an experiment the last three Mondays, because we planted that new sod out in front of the structure. We didn't want people walking through it, and we've seen a big jump from the amount of use on Mondays going back to mats. So, and I'll show you that. So $8,200 average, I think, in 8 weeks we had on grass, and then up to 13. These are balls hit. And then 13,000 on when we're on mats. So
are you saying people prefer mats to grass?
Yes.
See, I would say people prefer shade to sunshine.
Like people prefer
the shade, and they prefer the track.
Would I rather hit off grass? Yes.
Yeah.
Would I rather hit off of mats in the shade than 100 degree weather on grass? Probably mats.
Plus the track.
And with the track. Yeah.
Plus the track.
Well, the monitor underneath is so much more than using your phone. I mean, it just gives you a lot of data.
And we'll still have the capability of it. It doesn't cost us any more or less by not utilizing the grass. I mean, our cost is with the screens and the track man. So,
question for Ken. So, Ken, what are you guys doing with all this extra money you're making now?
He won't give any of it to the city. So
oh,
really
he's hoarding it for future?
Yeah.
Cool.
We're trying. We have projects.
He's paying for what it costs to build it.
Yes.
Well, we had the money for it, didn't we?
Yeah. It was that was.
But it was loan money left over.
Well, we can
the
pay off the loan and then.
Yeah, but you still have to repay the debt.
And we can put more flowers.
That's $185,000, I think, is what it is here on that loan that with all of it.
Well, that's 4 months of golf range.
Yeah. So here's.
I like the repayment on that.
This is from the start of May through. End of June, so we hit almost 800,000 golf balls on the driving range. The orange is with the screens, and then with them logged in or hit at the screen. The gray is if they don't touch the screen at all and just hit golf balls. So you can see that difference with them using the TrackMan app and then not using the TrackMan. And these are Mondays, so you can see the dips. That's a Monday. Although they're hitting golf balls, the orange is not using apps, but there's a dip there. That's a Monday. That's a Monday. That's a Monday. 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 So you can see those off of grass. And then here's two of the three Mondays somewhere in here. I think it's probably this one and that one. So where the volume. And I even looked today, it's more of flat than it is this ebb and flows with Monday. So we're going to try it for a couple more weeks and see if the Mondays off of mats continues with the volume we have. And we get very few complaints, if any, from people wanting it off of grass on Mondays or any day, frankly.
Good.
But I've had a few online that people, but honestly, there's other places for them to go practice and play. And I think the next slide will show.
They are good mats.
Yeah.
Yes, and those are.
I mean, I've hit off of mats that were.
Those were, at the time when we ordered those were the nicest premium mats that we could buy. And I just ordered 18 new ones today, because those ones are 4 years old now. So the new ones coming will be even nicer. I mean, they'll be like what they were 4 years ago.
When will they be here?
I just submitted an invoice, so probably not for a couple weeks.
How much does a mat cost?
I got a deal. They're $379 each.
Wow.
So 18 mats is about $7,000.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. It's
are you putting out more range balls since there's more range use? Do you throw new balls out there more frequently?
We just got $12,000 worth of range balls last week.
Yeah.
So
we're trying to cycle through them more. We put a bunch of milk crates with other golf balls, so when we clean the range, we put the milk crates in the machine, and we dump our golf balls that we just picked in the milk crates. So hopefully the golf balls last longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're actively throwing away other courses' golf balls that inevitably show up. Or use cut-up golf balls.
Show up, huh?
Yeah. This gives you an idea of the use on the driving range. It's a little bit deceiving earlier in the days because we've had so many golf tournaments that really go from, you'll see kind of some higher usage and then a drop off at 8 when the tournament goes out. We've been really busy from really 12 o'clock on most days, and then obviously from the 9 to 10 o'clock hour. It's been about 55 to 60% occupancy, which is pretty good from 9 to 10. So, mm-hmm. And that's pretty consistent other than Mondays. We don't have lights on the hitting areas on the grass. We have the lights going out, but we don't have the down lights that we do on the mat. So I think that number will continue to bump us up beyond the 54% what we have, especially hopefully in the later season when.
Have you been fielding any neighbor complaints about people hitting balls after 10 p.m.?
The lights shut off at 10.
Lights shut off at 10?
Yeah, they're off. Haven't had too many.
I thought they should have.
We had one during, on the 4th of July, people called and was like, there's light pollution, we can't see the fireworks, you guys need to turn off the lights on your
range. Yeah. Right now, I'm not too concerned about it because it's really bright outside till 9:30, 9:45.
Yeah. It's not our fireworks, it was the fireworks over at the valley from their house.
Can people hit balls after 10 p.m.?
We turn them off for our fireworks.
I thought it was open until 11.
We tried for, that was kind of our concession on with the neighbors, is to drop the hours to.
That's good.
You're right, though, we probably weren't
getting a lot of traffic between.
We were going to do 11 o'clock on the weekends.
We also only have one set of timers on the lights, so we would have had to go change them every weekend or get a new timer.
It's worked out. I think 10's been, I look at the camera on the driving range every night to see how many people are out there, and it's pretty busy, so it's been good. We have some contests every month. From the May one we did to June, we had about 50% more people participate. So hopefully we continue to get some people doing that. I've got Mr. Dylan Marcus sits
on
there. Yeah,
Dylan's up there.
He won a couple things this year.
He did.
Or this month plus last month.
It's probably
that's the driving range, kind of the nuts and bolts of it. But
What's the longest drive? Just interested.
Last month was 379.
Seriously?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but when I watched him drive, I didn't see how far it went. It went a long way.
No, I'm not quite that long.
Yeah, you were pretty far.
He would need to practice for like a month to get that long.
Really?
He swings hard enough.
Yeah, he does.
So it does on the hit it one. It evaluates as if it's zero, so it doesn't take into account our range. It's doing the convert to make it. As if the ball is flying on a flat
and a premium
driving range surface. So, yeah, 376 would be up past
the practice green.
The practice green.
It would be almost to hole two.
It'd be close.
Yeah,
and that's total. I mean, it doesn't carry quite that far.
So, who was the longest drive?
Sean is not. Last name's not Mars. That's his Instagram handle.
Okay.
He's a
scratch golfer.
He's a buff guy.
He's a golfer.
Yeah. He's a pretty strong dude, so, yeah.
A John Daly, or?
No.
He's just really tall, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty
tall.
And, and looks like he works out a couple times a day, so.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll go through a lot of our revenue numbers for this last fiscal year. These were I pulled up my four main goals for last fiscal year. We took these to City Council, and we've had them on our dry erase board for most of the year. But did 80,000 rounds, $3.5 million in revenue, 400,000 merchandise, and then 200,000 driving range, and we exceeded all of those. So this gives you some bigger numbers. Rounds, we almost hit 90,000. Revenue almost 4.1 million. Merchandise 454, and then obviously you saw the driving range in 255.
That was awesome.
Good.
You've exceeded everyone.
Awesome.
Yeah. We'll get into rounds a little bit. This kind of breaks apart our three bigger main operations, with the golf course pulling in the majority of the revenue, and then so event center and then grill revenue.
What did the grill do before? before the renovation?
The best year that the Iongis have was 220.
That's what I thought. So it went from 220 to 767.
Yeah, we did last year, which was our first full year of operation. We hired Justin the February before, so he had a few months. I think we did 560,
more than treble.
In the first year there. And we made money last year, and we made a little money in the grill this year, which for a food and beverage operation.
What was the high mark for the event center before the renovation?
I have to look back through. I know.
But it was nowhere close to that.
No. And the city was only getting a portion. We were getting 70%, I think it was, and then the Iongis were getting 30% of that revenue. So I'd have to look to see what that breakdown was.
Yeah, it was a different arrangement than we have now,
yeah.
For sure.
We weren't getting 100% of the events in rental.
Either any food sold for wedding events or anything?
It's all in that.
It's all in the grill.
Yes.
So the event center is strictly
rentals. Yeah, and
just
linens.
Lease, yeah.
We do some linen rentals that we've made a little money off of too.
So the average fast food restaurant in America is like 1.1.
Mm-hmm.
So
not far off. For being open 9 months of the year.
And
pretty darn good.
Right.
Really, the winter operation was kind of a bummer for us. I mean, we really just weren't that busy. We did some, but it wasn't what I thought it would be or what we'd hoped it would be. So that kind of hurt our overall profit on the grill, but we still did really well. So.
And there's still more upside.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot more upside.
Yeah. We're seeing growth even daily with as busy as we've been. You know, May and June were the busiest months we've had in the grill so far. You know, it used to be a top dollar day for us. It would be $2,500, $2,800, just grill, not counting any catering. And we're seeing that on some pretty mundane Fridays, Saturdays.
It makes it easier to staff.
Yes, and keep people.
Make it much easier to staff, which then helps you keep people.
Yeah.
And it provide a better product because once you train them, you don't have to retrain them and retrain them and retrain them.
And most people stick around this year. Less turnover in the grill this year than we did last year, for sure, by a wide margin. So, and we still have things to improve everywhere.
You're almost at 100% this year, aren't you, of people doing tournaments or also doing food and beverage?
Yes.
I mean, nobody's just having a golf tournament and not buying food and beverage
very,
from.
Very few. There's a couple, I'm thinking an amateur player tour, but even they bought some lunch. More of the competitive golf tournaments that other groups are hosting.
And Team Ozempic, right? They're not eating.
Yes. No, not eating either, yeah. So, but yeah, 99% of them are ordering food. Some even breakfast and lunch.
How many outings have there been, or how many are scheduled?
We did, this fiscal year, we've got 70, 68 scheduled right now. Last year we did about the same, 70.
What's the average spend?
That includes our tournaments, actually.
What's the average spend per outing? Do you have that?
I'd have to look. It's different per day. Our average is probably around $58 per person total. So.
Sure beats skiing.
Yeah. This will show you our merchandise revenue kind of growth the last several years. They were, golf courses have been pretty flat for 15, 20 years.
Who on your team is responsible for the merchandise?
I'd say Alan and I.
Mostly Tyler.
Yeah. Alan helps me a lot.
Mostly Tyler.
I get a lot of feedback from Alan. So
the key is
they have good merchandise that people want and that people will buy.
Can't tell you how many times people walk in the pro shop and they're like, this is like the best pro shop I've ever walked into.
It's good. Yeah.
I mean, you guys have noticed in the last couple of years the variety of the merchandise has changed.
It's not just random stuff. Like
and the hats are all original. Like this hat.
I buy my socks there now, you know? We didn't used to do that.
Eaglewood is the golf hat shop. It's the golf hat headquarters in the state
of
Utah.
It is. It's amazing.
It
is. And you have good sale items as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
We try to rotate.
I'm surprised
stuff
what
too.
I can find on the sales rack,
yeah.
But I really make
good stuff out there.
I do too.
That's a fun project for us. I enjoy finding things that not many
golfers
have or don't have at all. So it's kind of fun.
What percentage of your merchandise sales is tied, to gift certificates through corporate outings and says it is,
it's
33%?
No, it's not even that high. It's probably closer to 15.
Well, those are great numbers then. That's really good.
I looked at every category we have, and we were up significantly from even last year. Hats, clubs, golf balls. There wasn't a category that we were below on from last year.
Excellent.
So we've had growth.
Excellent.
Growth in
that's
all
really
of them.
Great.
So, you know, and Alan and I, our goal was if we can get to 400 this year, that's a big jump. Because, I mean, really, from 388 to 400, it's not a small percentage. But to get to 454 was good.
That's terrific.
This shows you just our total revenue. So it kind of got a little jumbled here, so I just took out all of those numbers. But you can see it's around anywhere from 1.1 to 900 to 968, somewhere in there. And then our growth of revenue there. And keep in mind, our expenses have grown along with this as well. Even last year.
That's a 15% increase. There's a lot of businesses that would love a 15% increase in this environment.
Yeah, and I think I did our average over the last 5 years. It's been 33% a year.
Whoa.
So.
And look at the trajectory since you've been here.
You know, this one was big because we took on the grill and the event center. So we did that million that year. I think that was 40% close to that.
I know, it's so amazing.
So we get into rounds. 89 is a lot. It's almost too much for the golf course.
118-hole golf
course.
What I'll bring to you probably our next meeting is for us to do a fee change again for next year to adjust that more. I've noticed a lot of golf courses, especially outside of the Wasatch Front, and even some like Thanksgiving Point. A lot of state courses, Mountain Dale, they're significantly jumped last year.
What's significantly?
From 60 to 80.
Yeah. Well, okay. So they're going up 20%.
Yeah, I know Wasatch and
Soldier Hollow,
the Hideout, all of them are up upwards of 80 for public golf course, which is
Park City went from 65 to 110. If you're not a resident.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Wasatch now has resident and non-resident fees too, and then the $80 is for non-resident.
Yeah, I think their resident is
still
70.
60 for a resident.
Is it?
Yeah.
Utah's always been super cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, I come from California.
That's what Park City is. They catch people that come in to visit and who don't live in Utah.
It's not that cheap.
Well, they can afford it. It's cheap compared to where they live, so they don't even think about it. Then you have to prove when you come to the course that you are a resident, and then they'll give you the resident rate.
Yeah,
which is interesting. It's a good way. It's a good way to kind of. Yeah.
So what are you thinking?
I'd like to
10% increase.
I'd like to be price wise. Yeah. Probably
15%.
Probably 66, 68. For us, standard rate, and then adjusting some dynamic pricing from there.
What's the maximum capacity?
What is that? Is that a 10%?
Yeah, 10 to 15%.
So it depends on your weather days and how many days you're open.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. What's maximum capacity realistic?
You know, you look at this 65, 683, and like, oh, we're down that year. But we had no golf in November and no golf in March.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
So really, had you added marginal November and March, this would have been up into the 72, 73 range. So I if we can keep it under 80, 75,000 to 80 would be ideal for us as far as play, pace of play. We went from
control.
We went from 9, I think it was after this year, we went from 9 minutes to 10 minutes intervals.
Yeah.
Mainly pace of play concerns, and we went up 15,000 rounds. So that didn't really help us at all with kind of moving groups out. We were just as busy. So 89 is a lot.
Yeah.
I would guess that other golf courses on the Wasatch Front might have a similar graph for the last 3 years. It's just my observation, but
yeah,
I think it's hard. I think there's more golf going on now than there's ever
been. Post COVID,
it's
up nationally.
It's amazing.
I thought it had tapered and was flat or headed down? I mean, I look to you on that because I don't know.
It is here.
It's still, I mean, it leveled off a little bit, but it's still higher than it's been any much. It's, well, it's, the thing I saw was 18% higher than pre-COVID years. So
we haven't, I haven't looked at every city's budget, but I've looked at the local market, you know, Davis County mostly, and we're up more than they are.
Yeah,
as far as around.
I mean, I'm sure we are out. I'm sure we're outpacing others, but
one down the street in particular.
Just based on how hard it is to get a tee time.
And that's why
it's
I was
really
wondering.
Amazing.
I would just say for comparison, public private recreation, my world, is flatter down. Mm. Most all of it, people are discretionary income. They're spending less.
And I have that concern for the next 6 months and really next year. I think we'll have a good indication in July, August. We have a lot of golf tournaments August, September, so we'll be a little insulated there. But it'll be interesting to see what public play.
Well, to your point, if you raise prices by 15%, you can lose 15% of your people, which is going
to
take you down almost 12,000 rounds and still be at $4 million bucks. Which is a win-win.
Yeah. Less labor. I mean, I can't tell you, we've probably doubled our staffing from 2020 to 2025 just because of the volume.
Love it.
So,
the one thing, though, Gordon, I mean, the golf demographic is one that is not going to be too price sensitive and is not going to be too impacted by the economy. So, I mean, you always have people that are, but, you know, it's going to be pretty steady going ahead because it's a wealthy retired portion of our population.
They're affluent who are playing it, is what you're saying.
So
they're affluent that are playing it?
Affluent, yeah. And, you know, you have some that aren't, but, I mean, and those might be impacted by price. But, I mean, most courses you can't get a tee time, you know. So
right.
We need more golf courses. They should never have closed Wing Point. They should never, you know, they should have built a few more. But, you know, a few years ago it was looking like golf, you know, and skiing were going like this, right? Now both of them have gone, you know, just like that nationwide. So
I think one thing we'll be grateful for as we get into some slower years of golf, which I ultimately feel we'll find some here and there, is the driving range. I think we'll be a lot of an entry-level, lower-cost opportunity for people to come experience it without having to pay $68, $75 to play golf. Come spend $8 or $15 or $20 bucks. And
well, it's also a timing thing. They can do that, you know, in 45 minutes to an hour at the most, and you know, really enjoy it. It's almost like playing a real game.
We'll see. I would put money on we'll see a lot more courses doing what we've done in the next 5 or 6 years. So we'll see.
I just want to say how thankful I am that we didn't sell this asset. Looking back in retrospect, I would just say it's an incredible blessing for the city, and compliments to you and Alan and your team, and to you, Ken, for having the vision and catching it. So, I mean, honestly,
it's fun.
We were sucking wind, man, and now the wind is behind our back and the sails are full on.
You know, Cord, it goes even a little deeper than that. About 3 months ago, I saw a case that came up of a muni course where some of the people that were working there were being harassed because they were women.
Yeah.
And the city was sued. And so I sent a copy of the case to Tyler, and he wrote back and said, I will take this seriously, and I will train my crew that we don't do this. That is amazing that you embraced it, you saw that it could be a problem, and we're going to prevent it. That is just leadership.
Yeah, we've got a couple ladies that work harder than the guys of the golf course, and they're awesome.
That's also one of the reasons why the golf course has been so successful. You're delivering a quality product, and your personnel are professionals who know how to run a golf course, and they know how to treat people, and it makes all the difference.
Yeah.
but it takes leadership.
All the difference.
It takes leadership to see it
absolutely.
And address it and deal with it day in and day out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because
you can pay lip service
to it, but following through every day.
It makes a difference, though. People notice it. You know, some people may not be vocal about it, but they're noticing, believe me. And I mean, Eaglewood delivers a private club experience at a public price. And that's why people love it. It's a high quality restaurant and grill too. I mean, the whole experience. That's what golf is now. It's an experience. It's not a game. It's not a sport. It's an experience, and that's what people will pay for, as you just said. People don't care if you raise the fees a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the majority of people. There are always some that are going to say, "Oh man, you raised it $2. Are you kidding me? I'm going to go bankrupt now."
While you're all saying great things about the golf course, I'll add my observation that I think the friendliness in the clubhouse has been amazing. You've got really great people behind the counter.
You do.
And they say hello when you walk in. They're smiling. It hasn't always been that way. you guys chuckle because you've lived through it. But,
yeah.
But you know, it, and they don't know who I am either, because I'm not up there saying, "Oh, I am the city manager." I go in there once in a while, but they're just friendly, you know. And I think there's a real a real friendly customer service attitude in the clubhouse, and to me, it's been a big enough difference that I've noticed it, you know. Over the last couple of years, but especially this season, you've got some really great people.
We do have probably my favorite staff.
Talked about this a couple times this year. It's the best staff.
Yeah, you guys have great people right now.
Yeah.
Some great older people who are at the cash register too. You know, they're just great.
Dylan, my son's worked there for 3 years now,
yeah.
And he says the same thing. He comes home all the time. He's like, "We have the best staff this year.
Yeah.
It's so much fun."
Yeah,
like
it's really true.
To your point, Ken, I was unloading my car with my golf clubs, I don't know, last week, and one of your employees was driving by in a cart, and he stopped and said, "Oh, would you like a ride?"
Awesome.
I'm like, no, I got this, thanks.
I'm offended, I can walk.
No, anyway, I was just like, again, this is above and beyond the call of duty.
Yeah.
This is above and beyond the call of duty.
Yeah, it's really terrific.
Yeah, we've had some great people, but these guys have put with us quite often from all over the United States, Mexico, we've had a few others. And everything that we've heard from them has been totally positive. You know, they've enjoyed it. They thought it was a really great, you know, place. And their camera was out maybe 10 or 15 times during the game taking pictures because they couldn't believe. And I'm sorry, but my voice is going pretty fast. Anyway, we've thoroughly enjoyed these people, and I think they have. They've had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's one of the advantages. We not only have the really great people in there, but we've got great people on the course playing in the whole bit. And I think marshals have a reasonably easy job. They don't, other than people who probably drink a little bit more than they should and turn carts, but, you know, it's a minor detail.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But the feeling goes all the way through. The marshals, the same thing, they're positive.
An experience.
They know how to talk to people and make sure they're comfortable in what's going on.
Yeah.
Has the dog walker problem solved itself now?
I feel like it's been less of a problem.
Less, I think it's helped that we're so busy.
But I guess the educational process has taken time, and there's a lot less.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I've heard of far less complaints this year than I think last year. I mean, we would get in the middle of the day.
Dog walkers in the middle of the day?
We haven't had as many on the course anymore.
There's a lot of
sounds
kids
like
that cut across
the
course, like especially like by the 16th hole, they come across from Eaglewood over to the other one. You see them there quite often, but they're pretty much out of the they're not in your play. They're coming across the tee box there.
I was, the last time I went with my brother, we were paired with two other golfers. And on hole 13, there was a lady walking her dog down the path into the trees, you know, onto the right. And these guys were so mad, they hit off while she was down there. I wasn't going to hit. But they're just like, oh, they shouldn't be walking their dog. And they just hit the golf balls down there.
I thought, wow, I run into that lady, yeah. And she gets mad that we're golfing.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. On 13.
It's 13. Is
she's like, why did you hit? I'm like, it's the golf course.
It's not a dog park. It's
for
a
real
golf course.
Stands in the middle. I haven't seen her this year, but last year.
It's kind of funny.
Anyways, that's all I've got.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's plenty. That's awesome.
Keep up the good work. And
thanks, City.
Our next meeting.
I think my house has gone up in value because the golf course is better.
That's the only country up.
Among other reasons.
So, yep, which means I pay more in property taxes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Right.
So you're getting your fair share.
October 8th is our next meeting.
If your house
October
goes up faster than everybody else's,
it's a long time.
You might pay more.
October 8th, okay.
But your property tax should not be going up just because your value goes up. And it's a detail.
I'm just happy.
We're glad you pay it. I mean.
Well, I move that we adjourn the meeting then.
Second.
Yeah.
Second.
Absolutely.
Third,
second.
Fourth.
Okay.
All abstain.
All of
no.
Leave.
No.
I
gotta go home.
Oh, call Tyler.
Just being
call Lynn.
Mr. Larson's lawn.
I think it's managed now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.